On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where sometimes we let you play the guessing game. Now, Chelsea, generally, it's impossible to play the guessing game with the people who are listening to this podcast, but I have decided that I'm not going to title this something to give away what the episode is, so that people can try to figure out what the topic was for the episode.
I keep telling you to stop doing that.
You know what? I hope I don't come across a good pun as I'm editing this episode, because then we're in trouble and this entire concept's going to be ruined. But as of now, I don't have a good pun for the title, so I think we're safe.
For now.
I have three different individuals I want to talk to you about today, and I want you to figure out what they have in common.
Oh, man, I got to do work.
I don't think it's going to be that hard.
Okay. Remember, you promised.
I know. So we're going to see if it works. So, Chelsea, the first person we're going to talk about is a woman by the name of Suzanne Brown.
Okay.
That's not her real name. I have no idea what her real name is, but I don't think it's too important for the story.
Okay.
Because this is just how it goes. In 1965, Suzanne Brown claims that she was visited numerous times in her Chester, Cheshire, England home by a 5-foot-tall Nordic alien with shoulder-length blonde hair who wore a skin-tight membrane suit. Originally, the visits, which began when she was just 12 years old, were relaxed and even loving. But by the time they ended, she says she was terrified. Despite the outrageousness of what she says, or the fact that there were no witnesses throughout these 24 years, Miss Brown is adamant of these interactions. Suzanne, who works in a major department store, says she was on one occasion taken to the less conventional surroundings of a spacecraft and shown the interior, making contact with little gray infants who never seemed to grow up. She would never forget her first sighting of a spacecraft floating perhaps 2 feet above ground in a field in the Cheshire countryside. Communications weren't a problem with these aliens who were visiting her, and according to her accounts, the creatures did not need to learn a language, preferring to rely on telepathy. It was only when the alien named Miriko visited her after the breakdown of her marriage that the nature of these visits became sinister. She tells of a fateful night, taking her to his spaceship. The creatures used mind control to engineer a close encounter of a different kind involving the hapless Miss Brown and two other humans, a vagrant and a prostitute. By the way, I think at this point I should say viewer discretion is advised for this episode. There might be talks of adult situations.
Is that what they all have in common?
You're going to have to wait until you hear at least one more story, Chelsea.
When do I start making guesses?
When you've heard at least two stories.
Okay. I thought it was now. There's a lot of pressure. Okay, continue.
To call this situation a nightmare would be the easy way out, but the fact is that it was real. No dream, she says. Her horror increased after the discovery a month later that she was pregnant. Frightened and confused, part of the problem lay in the fact that she was unable to tell anybody else, she claims. But a few months later, while at home alone, she began experiencing terrible pains from pressure in her lower abdomen. Pressure was crushing and becoming very painful, she added. I opened my eyes, and there was Miriko. Telepathically, of course, he told her not to worry, and his people were merely taking what was theirs. She passed out, and after waking up, realized that her clothes were soaked with blood, and it looked like she had suffered from a miscarriage. Despite stabbing pains, she resisted the temptation to call her doctor. Months passed, once again life went quiet, and it appeared that the pregnancy had been terminated. Finally, the creature who had caused this much suffering to Miss Brown returned. Miriko, Suzanne says, led her to his craft once again and showed her what appeared to be a nursery. There was an infant entity lying in a nearby cot, gray-skinned and frail. It was her child. Suzanne stated, "Somehow I knew that this thing had come from my body. I also knew that it had been removed from inside my body in the night by Miriko's last visit." End quote. She last says she saw her child several years ago during Miriko's final visit when she was 39 years old. That's the end of Suzanne Brown's story. Which is that the name of that psychic? I forget. The one who was really wrong a lot.
Sylvia Brown.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, nobody liked her. Why wouldn't you call a doctor if you're like covered in blood and woke up covered in blood?
Yeah, that's a great question, but we'll never know because she didn't give her actual name.
You resist to urge for like, I don't know, like a snack maybe, or like a second helping of food. Not the urge to call a doctor when you wake up covered in blood.
I don't know. If aliens forced me into a mysterious alien orgy and I became pregnant from it, even if I woke up with some blood, this thing that is now gone, I don't know. It might feel like a bit of relief at that point.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I cannot even say I understand those emotions at all. That's a lot to go through.
You're right. Okay. Next one. I can start guessing now.
Yeah, now you can start guessing. So, Chelsea, we're going to talk about a man by the name of David Huggins. And this...
Okay, well, that caught me off guard. I thought I was going to be a woman.
Now, David Huggins has a great Vice article about him. And that's what I'm predominantly going to be stealing from.
Is that his real name?
This guy, for sure, real name. Only one pseudonym in this one, and that's Suzanne Brown.
No guesses yet.
Huggins was born in rural Georgia, I assume the state, in 1944. When he was younger, he talks about hunting for arrowheads in nearby fields for fun and not liking the evangelical Baptist church his grandparents took him to sometimes. When strange beings that no one else could see started appearing to him around the farm, he thought he was losing his mind. In 1961, when Huggins was a teenager living on his parents' farm in rural Georgia, it wasn't the first time extraterrestrials had appeared to him. He'd been seeing strange creatures since he was 8. But on this day, as he was walking through the woods near his house, an alien woman appeared and seduced him. Quote, "I thought, if anything, I'd be losing it in the backseat of a Ford." Something like that. "But it didn't work out that way," end quote, he says. According to Huggins, these visits were from extraterrestrials, and his sexual relationship with them continued into adulthood. When I interviewed him for this story, Huggins told me his last encounter with Crescent, his name for the woman in the woods, was 6 months ago. Quote, "I was sitting down in a chair, and the woman, Crescent, was behind me, and she put her arms around me. And that's about it. I don't know anything else outside of that," end quote, he said. Quote, "I am sitting under a tree and I hear this voice, 'David, behind you.' And I turned around and there is this little hairy guy with large glowing eyes coming straight towards me. I thought it was the boogeyman. I didn't know what to think of it," end quote, he says. Another day, an insect-like being that reminded Huggins of a praying mantis appeared. Quote, "I was terrified. It was like, what in the world am I looking at? And for an 8-year-old, you don't know what to think," end quote. Once the shock wore off, Huggins says his encounters were weird, but not all that threatening. When he left Georgia in the mid-1960s for art school in New York City, the beings followed. Nocturnal visits from Crescent, the ET who deflowered him, became routine. Quote, "My relationship with Crescent was warm and friendly. A little strange. What do I mean a little? Very strange. She was my girlfriend, really. A very unconventional relationship," end quote, Huggins says. Huggins is unnervingly matter-of-fact when he talks about this encounter. It sets him apart from what most of us expect from truthers and UFO enthusiasts. He's not in it for the notoriety and doesn't care if anyone believes him. When Huggins talks about fathering hundreds of alien babies, and yes, that's another facet of his encounters, he sounds about as even-keeled as a farmer explaining crop rotation. He started painting these experiences in 1987, when Huggins started remembering details from the early visits. He says the deluge was triggered by Bud Hopkins' book, Intruders, The Incredible Visitation at Copley Woods. One of the first paintings Huggins ever made was of him and Crescent having sex. Quote, "Oh, no. The painting's not really all that good. She was on top of me, I reached my climax, and then she and the insect being leave," end quote, he says. Similar paintings fill his apartment. They're surreal and a little childlike, dominated by deep blues and greens. Quote, "It was like a compulsion, was being led to the book. There's this chapter, Other Women, Other Men, and I started reading it, and I go, oh my god, this is the woman I never told anyone about. As I was reading it, memory upon memory came flooding back. It was image upon image. They wouldn't stop. I think what bothered me the most is I didn't know what to do with it. I was so scared," end quote.
These paintings are a little bit disturbing. Is he this real old guy?
Oh yeah, with the goatee, like the very furry goatee. Okay,
I just need to describe these to you because they're grays.
Crescent is full up a like middle-aged woman with like an alien mask on.
Yeah, it's a gray. She actually has blue pupils though on her close-ups with like a Betty Page wig on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the perfect explanation there. With a little bit of like a Spock V up top.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very weird
That's, I've I think, the best way to describe it. Like
yep, okay.
Do you see the one that is literally just like a naked woman and then her head is an alien head?
No, but I see one of like one floating outside of a UFO. That one's fucking weird. Okay, where's the naked woman one? Fucking weird. Oh! Human anatomy, hey?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's the guy flying. You yeah. see that one?
He's kind of yeah. sideways. He's got a real style, that is for sure.
That one just proves it. The one, she's just straight up wearing a gray mask in that one.
Yeah, I feel like it was like a slightly older neighbor who was... Yeah. I don't know if we need yeah. to get into that anymore.
yeah, I think
but
that's
David Huggins has a whole lot of pictures of alien sex that he drew.
I mean, that just convinces me that what he experienced was... aliens.
Traumatic, I think, is the word I would use.
And now it's traumatic on me.
And now he's painting through his emotions.
Wow. Disturbing. Oh, there she is again, naked. I have a guess, but I'm going to leave it until I hear the next one, if we're ready for the next one.
Yes, we are. And that's a smart plan.
Great.
Because you have your two samples, and then you're going to see if it follows the pattern.
Oh, here's the baby. The hairy baby.
Oh, they had hundreds of babies.
But the hairy one. Maybe they weren't all hairy. I don't know. Oh, there's the first initial encounter with her on top.
Oh, yeah, her on top. Yeah, that's a real picture that he's got there.
Okay, quick.
I think the praying mantis is watching one, too, so right?
Not on that one. No, they're in okay. the bushes. Okay, I'm out of here. Go with the next one, quick.
Okay, Chelsea, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Simon Parkes now. He's British again, which Suzanne Brown was. But... he was a city councillor in Whitby, North Yorkshire. He was a member of the Labour Party, which I find really interesting as the story's going to progress. We'll see why. Now, Chelsea, brace yourself for this. He says that he's been visited and taken by extraterrestrials ever since being in his mother's womb and has no fear of them.
How does he know that?
This didn't come out until after he became an elected official.
Oh, gosh.
So...
okay.
He sat down for an interview with ITV in the UK, and he told this story. I'm just going to go through the article because it is wild.
What was the interview for this, or was it?
Yes, no, it's for this.
Wow,
because it kind of came up. So he's there. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Parkes explained that he had been visited by aliens ever since being inside his mother's womb, when he has a very clear memory of a face with no really distinguishable features, and then suddenly being aware that there was much more to this world than I knew. He describes it as a spiritual experience. That's a lot more than most of us get from the womb.
How does he know that he was in the womb when this happened?
I don't know. He said that the type of alien he is most frequently visited by are mantids. Green, 7 feet tall, and he produced a drawing of one who frequently comes to visit him wearing a cloak. Now, Chelsea, just picture in yes. yourself what this mantid looks like, and I'm going to share my screen.
Yes.
Was it this that you're picturing?
No.
Drawn by a 7-year-old and not David Huggins?
I mean, that is a pretty good drawing, but that's not what I was picturing.
So he shared that with reporters who were interviewing him. For those of you who aren't able to see it at this moment, which is probably a way of listening, it is a picture of an alien drawn by a 7-year-old who didn't have gray, they had green, and they put a purple cloak on it. Those are the only two colors, a purple robe that lets the hands come out the front, and then it's a gray alien that's green. Parkes then described losing his virginity to one of the aliens in 1965 when he was only 5 or 6 years old. Quote, it was a holographic sexual experience, so I didn't exactly lose my virginity. It was using much more advanced technology than anything we have on Earth or anything the army think they have. To aliens, it's not about age, it's about experience and souls, end quote.
Oh no, it's not about age.
Nope. Aware that some people can't handle the truth, Parkes suggested that anyone who felt he was unsuitable for the role of counselor in Whitby instead vent your angry spleen on those members of Parliament who stole money, who defrauded the country, who got others to take penalty points for them, on those great tycoons and bankers who nearly destroyed Britain. He added, quote, "When I was elected, I'd already gone public. What people want is someone to fight and defend Whitby. My policies are very strong and very clear. Nobody has asked me to resign because of this private matter," end quote. When Philip wondered if being taken by aliens might clash with his duties, Park said, quote, "I am not taken during meetings. These creatures do not want attention drawn to themselves, and they don't have an agenda or oppose me discussing this. Otherwise, I would have stopped," end quote.
Touché.
Parks has already spoken publicly about a rowing with his wife after revealing he had a child named Zarka with an alien he refers to as the Cat Queen.
Can you imagine? I think I'd just be accepting, honestly.
What else could you do, really?
Yeah.
I think I would just say, like, okay, this stays between us.
Yeah, please don't go public with this information. Yes.
I should also add his other job is he's a driving instructor. The driving instructor said he has sexual relations with the alien about 4 times a year.
But why did it just switch up all of a sudden to driving instructor?
I think he might have lost his job halfway through the interview. But I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Quote, "What will happen is that we will hold hands and I will say I'm ready. And then the technology I don't understand will take us up to a craft orbiting the Earth. My wife found out about it and was very unhappy, clearly. That caused a few problems, but it is not on a human level, so I don't see it as wrong." End quote. Parks, who also claims his real mother is a 9-foot green alien with 8 fingers, said people only claim he is mad because they have not shared his experiences and that the encounters don't affect his work on behalf of Whitby residents. Quote, "I can understand how you would say that because you have not seen anything yourself and that's your immediate fallback position. But you come and spend some time with me and follow me around for a day and you will actually walk away shaking your head because you will think actually he's not mad. There are plenty of people in my position who don't choose to come out and say it because they're terrified it will destroy their careers," end quote.
Yeah.
He told the Channel 4 documentary Confessions of an Alien Abductee his first recollection is being lifted out of his cot by an alien.
I find it funny that he's like, most people wouldn't do it, but I did it. I don't fucking care. It doesn't affect my job.
I guess it's impossible to speculate if more people would say this happened to them if it wouldn't impact their job, because it's just hard to say.
I just have to interrupt you for 1 second.
Okay.
I think David Wilcock has the same recording schedule we
do. No. Well, I don't think we have that much left.
So sorry. It had to be said.
Parks, who spends hours drawing his extraterrestrial experiences as it helps him come to terms with them, said, quote, "The only thing I can remember after that, it's saying to me, you will never be hurt. You will never be harmed. Aww. I think I'm fairly clear in my head that I am being monitored by aliens very closely. And if there's anything that's seriously about to happen or does happen, then I'm fairly confident in my own mind that they will intervene. They have in the past," end quote. He said he is also often followed by security service and that he and a female passenger in his car were recently abducted by aliens in Cloughton, near Scarborough, before being returned to the vehicle as it moved. End quote. End of story. And Chelsea, we're going to take it a step further with Parks, because he has 2 separate websites that he operates. The first one is simonparks.org. SimonParkes.org. You can go check out.
Here he is. Okay, this was a little jarring at first.
It's definitely a little bit more modern than what we're generally used to, but not by much. And on here, he has a little bit of a bio about himself that I wanted to read. So I'll do that first.
Biophotonic? Is that what that means?
Biophotonic? Yes, I think it... Nope, that's not it at all. It was the about page.
Oh, yes. Right next to it.
I don't know what the biophotonic is.
Well, I'm clicking on it, and what is it? What this is.
Simon has this to say about himself. Simon grew up in a family that had links to British and American intelligence. Simon's mother worked for MI5. However, while she was managed by MI5, she was in reality working for NASA. Simon's grandfather was employed by the Secret Intelligence Service, better known as MI6. In reality, he was reporting to the CIA. Simon's grandfather was also a British diplomat, holding the position of vice consul and then consul of the British Embassy in Pondicherry, India. While in India, he was awarded the OBE and CBE medals and turned down a knighthood. In 1936, he was one of the Wise Men of 12, or called the Jury of 12, who voted on the question regarding King Edward VIII and if the king should be removed regarding Special Branch's uncovering of a Nazi plot to infiltrate the king. Brackets, had nothing to do with wanting to marry a divorcee. Brackets. I don't know. Over a secure teleprinter link, he was asked in code, should the king go or should they stay? Grandfather voted go. Simon's mother raised him herself, never remarrying. From around 1965 until her death in 1979, she worked on secret documents which were printed in German and came from the British and American quarters of the then divided Berlin. The documents related to crashed UFOs which had been retrieved by American forces and were sent for back engineering to Operation Paperclip German scientists. During this period and before and after, Simon had UFO experiences himself. Simon's mother died in suspicious circumstances in 1979 when she asked to be released from work. Thereafter, Simon received £2,000, which was pushed through his door in an envelope with a note, quote, "Don't look back, Dick Whittington," end quote. And with this, Simon relocated to London. Man, can you imagine being able to relocate to London for £2,000? What a wild time the 70s
I'm not
were.
Following this story.
No, this is wild. In 2010, Simon went public with his experiences and predictably was verbally attacked and ridiculed by the mainstream media. In 2013, Simon was invited to a tour of a space radar base in North Yorkshire with a group of 20 serving and retired military. Simon was the only civilian in the group, at the end of which he was given a commemorative medal / coin, a limited edition of only 500 worldwide, celebrating 50 years of the U.S. Air Force being based in North Yorkshire. It was number 86.
Why the fuck is that even in his bio?
No one else in the group were given one. The visit was a game changer. Suddenly, the British media stopped hounding him. Simon went on to establish Connecting Consciousness, a free-to-join organization dedicated to raising people's awareness within a spiritual context. Today, the organization operates in many countries and has thousands of members. So that's his bio that he wrote for himself.
You forgot one important part.
What's that?
You're reading this while you're going very fast through space. We might be traveling at light speed.
Oh, yeah, the background. Yeah.
Well, that was a fucking weird bio.
He also has, I don't know what to call it, but like his blog posts, which aren't really blog posts, are up there too. And he's taken some weird moves since 2013, I guess. He is definitely on the Trump train. And he also sells some weird stuff. He has 24-hour face care management as a blog post on December 11th.
It's an MLM.
Biophotonic Christmas bundles exclusive for CC members. Trump threatens 100% tariff on BRIC countries. There's an RFK Jr. and Tucker Carlson interview up there where he says he really encapsulates the essence of the ethos of CC and the planet. And yeah, like he really went down the Trump hole.
Yeah, that's a bad place to be.
But he also has that other website.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Connecting Consciousness. Actually, if you go to the front page of the Simon Parks webpage, on the right is Connecting Consciousness.
Oh, right there.
Why does it take you to the German one if you go that way?
Is it superior?
Oh no, he's pure, Chelsea. He's pure. Yeah.
Oh no, do you think that he follows that one-armed guy? What's his name again?
Oh god, I can't remember, but he might.
I can't remember. I don't have to click to get in. This is stupid.
Oh yeah, that's the weirdest captcha I've ever seen, where you have to click in the center of the heart.
I don't want to click it, to be honest. I don't think I want in that bad.
I guess you don't really need it. Connecting Consciousness is, as far as I can tell, it's meant to be like a support group for alien contactees and their family. Which I guess, good for them. Something needed to be out there.
Yeah, I say dear Lord because this is who's leading them. Oh no.
Yeah, well, him and his wife, I think, because Rebecca Parks is also one of the leaders, who I have to assume is his wife.
That's super weird. She was so pissed about it.
Yeah, well, he still has 4 sex encounters with the aliens a year. And he said he's not stopping. He doesn't consider it cheating.
Is he still in parliament or whatever the fuck he was?
Oh saying? No, he's gone. Yeah.
Okay.
And then he has another bio here that adds weird differences. Like here, he says, Simon Parks has a lifetime of experience with extraplanetary life forms as well as military and went public with this in 2010. Since his 2013 visit to the British Ministry of Defense, he is respected by the media as an authority on various extraterrestrial races and beings. In 2015, he became involved in RV, which I assume he means remote viewing, and he's not living in an RV, and has since then signed a number of NDAs with the white hats. And I don't know what he means by that.
Oh no, that's not like a white supremacist reference, is it?
I don't think so. I think white hats are generally considered not the peacekeepers, but a branch of the UN, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't really specify that an RV. I could mean recreational.
Guys, this is what the sentence is. It's its own paragraph. In 2015, he became involved in the RV and has since then signed a number of NDAs with the White Hats. That's it. And Rebecca Parks has a diploma in adult education focused on childbirth. I don't understand how that works.
No, you wouldn't think.
Terms don't seem to go together.
No, they don't really. I find it super weird that she's a part of this. You find it weird?
Very weird, yes.
Especially given how she came in the story.
I don't know. Maybe everything else kind of fell apart once it came out.
She also
has a degree in biological sciences and a master's in environmental health. Like, none of those degrees seem to go together.
No, they don't. It might be made up a little
bit. Through Rebecca's training and experiences, she is versed in various shamanic traditions and healing styles, sound and light healing, hands-on healing, divination, and developing one's intuition. She also loves crystals, crystal healing, and taking walks in nature and by the seaside. She lives in England with her husband, Simon Parks, and their cats and dogs.
What about the White Hats?
That's the only time White Hats, I searched the page, that's the only time it comes up on the entire page.
Okay, and did you try highlighting everything, even where you think you can't highlight to see if there's
You know what, I didn't try that one. Basiago's the only one it actually had came up.
All by accident.
Yeah.
That's still my favorite thing. Nothing. I just looked.
It seems to really just be like a support group for people who have seen aliens and the family of the people who have seen them. I just find it really weird. And these guys are odd ducks.
Okay, so now do I get to guess?
You can guess if you would like to.
I did rule out that they all have fake names because some of them had real names.
Yeah, and they stand behind their names.
Yeah, especially the last guy. I did think for a second that they might all be artists, but then I remember the first one didn't do any art. But I'm gonna go with all of these people are having sexual relationships with aliens that were probably pedophilia.
And the pedophilia wasn't the intended part of it, but it is weird that it is a part of it.
A little concerning, isn't it?
Yeah. I also realized in my research, this technically isn't the first sex with alien story that we've covered, as that one in the Phoenix Mountains of China, he had a sexual encounter as well, and they told him that he had children back on their planet.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Sex with aliens does come up quite often when you're talking about aliens, actually.
But I did find it really weird, and it was just coincidental, that all of the sexual encounters seem to start, like, at teenagerdom, or before that somehow, in the case of Simon Parks. Which, in a weird way, I find the ufology community seems to lean very far right, and that side is obsessed with stopping human trafficking and sex with children. You should be against aliens then. It's a weird thing. Like, you need to stop the aliens.
Why do they lean so far right?
It's something we'll have to look into at some point, but they do.
I find it so confusing. Is it because of the conspiracy theories?
I think it's part of that. I think they get less pushback.
I find it a weird thing now that you're bringing it up. It's always like on the tip of my mind when it comes up, because a lot of it does usually come up, and it's always right.
And when we're doing research, particularly when we want to like see people talk, we're going to see them on right-wing podcasts.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Coast to Coast likes to say it's neutral. It is not.
Apparently, since I think we both stopped listening, apparently
yeah, you told me that.
It's become very prevalent what way they're leaning, which I believe is right-leaning as well. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm a little taken aback right now by the fact that I just said that out loud. But what a beautiful episode, Taylor, you have blessed us with.
Well, you're welcome. And I actually do have the makings of part two already, because there are a lot of people who have claimed this, even some famous people. So keep your
it's
eyes
gonna
on
be
the episodes.
Famous? You mean, oh, damn it, what's his name? Simon Parks isn't famous enough.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe one day he will be. I don't know. I don't want fame to come between him and his mistress. And I guess wife, too.
You're just going to have to hold your breath until you're done editing this and it posts, because not having a pun for this one is going to be tough.
I just got to like focus when I'm doing this, which is tough for me. But in any event, I have been Taylor. Here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes, or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.